Reflections of the Past with Isaac Resnick, exclusively on 101.9 High FM.
Welcome, good morning, 11 minutes past 9, slightly overcast in Johannesburg. We have rain yesterday afternoon, quite a heavy downpour, which we needed. And of course, they predict again some more heavy showers this afternoon. Now, we have in the studio my very good friend, Dr. Jonathan Mach, and I want to wish him long life, the passing of his late mother, Miriam Mach. Aleinu v'shalom, and may have no further sorrow.
Thank you. Yeah, so we're going to be into a rainy season now.
Yes.
And we need the rain.
We need the rain, but we don't need those hailstorms where they're actually threatening this afternoon. They're warning people.
Yes.
There could be some severe storms.
Yeah, yeah. Look, it's been a tough 2 weeks. And I'd just like to spend, if you don't mind, a minute just thanking the community that supported and for the listeners of Chai FM and our show, especially the Chev. You know, parents passing is often catches you unawares because you don't know when it's going to happen. And I was doing groups at the hospital, and I got a WhatsApp from one of my sisters about it. But I drove immediately to Sandringham Gardens, where she was Nifta, and I phoned David Weber, who's the funeral director, immediately. And I said, I would like a Levaya funeral today. He said, well, you know, it's after 12, and I need to get my Tahara team together. Those are the women who clean the body, put them into shrouds before the funeral. And we also have to dig the grave. But anyway, he got back to me within a half an hour, and he says, what about 3:45? I said, 3:45, that's about 2.5 hours, 3 hours. Anyway, it did happen. And when I arrived there, my late father was buried right at the front gate. If you know where, you know, when you come in, of course there are graves on either side, but right at the bottom right-hand corner, about 3 graves from the fence, from that main gate. And when I drove in with my wife Shira, I saw the sand already had been dug up with 3 shovels. And I think that memory is going to stay with me for a very long time, because that was very, very symbolic of what a magnificent world-class Chevra Kedisha we have. That in 3 hours, I made a phone call that lasted 15 seconds, and David Weber initiated a chain of command. I didn't even know the number of the grave. They looked it up on their records, and they knew I had a plot there where my father died 11 and a half years ago. They went there and they dug, and it was all prepared. I think Philip Kalmanovitz, he was in the office in a very gentle, kind way. I had to go in and provide some facts. The Kriya, the everything was just so well organized and smooth in a time of crisis. And I would like to say, we should bear a sense of gratitude to what we have here. People tell me from around the world, there's no such thing that happens. It becomes a major challenge. So I'd just like to thank you, Isaac, for allowing me to say a few words about what happened. The community, we had 13 menyonim, Mahasha. Everyone, we started on time. We completed it. The people that visited, and every meal was supplied, including Shabbos. And it's more than the chev. It is chevayrim. To have friends, to have a support system that works halachically, that is based on thousands of years of polishing. Everybody who was involved stepped up to the plate, and I really would like to thank them in our community.
Well, I want to just add there, you know, I've been involved with the Chevra Kedisha for many years. It is the most organized, disciplined Chevredisha in the world.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if you go to the United States of America, there's different Chevredishas all over. Everybody's doing their own thing. This rabbi's got his own, and you've got his own plot, his own graveyard, and one thing and another. Here, there's one Chevredisha for the whole community.
Yes.
Except,
yes,
you know, you've got a Cape Town, they've got their own, and all this, but here, it's completely all. Everything is done by one organization, which is important and highly professional as well.
Yeah,
very
yeah.
highly professional.
Yes.
So I can vouch for it. As I said, I've been doing that for many, many years with the Hevra. Now, I also want to mention, as an aside, your mom passed away. You know, even if a mother passes away, say at the age of, say, 90 or whatever, you know, what I don't know how old your older lady
was. It's almost, it should be 90 in July.
There's a story told, there's two, but I'll tell you the one story, and I want the listeners to hear very carefully. There's the famous Rabbi Cook, Yitzhak Cook, who was the chief rabbi of Palestine. And he was 76 years old when his mother died when she was 96. And he was sitting Shiva, and the people came to Menachem Oval to wish him long life, and he was weeping. So somebody said to him, you know, Rabbi, your mother had a long life. You know, today in South Africa, they use that word innings, which I totally disagree with. He says, you know, why are you weeping? He says, you know why? He says, who else is going to call me mein Kind? And who else am I going to call Mama?
Yes.
That is the story that's told. Your mother could be in Alaska. Your mother, it could be anywhere in the world, and you are here. Still, a mother is a mother.
Yes.
And you know, there's that famous saying, 10 children can't look after one mother, but one mother looks after 10 children.
Yes, yes.
And of course, there's the other story as well. I won't get into with Rabbi Akiva Iger, the same type of thing where he also was sitting Shiva.
Yes.
So I just wanted to mention that, that it's so, you've got to honor your parents.
Absolutely.
And no matter what age it is.
You know, there's that stage that one is in. It's called an onen,
onen,
which is from the time of the death until the time of the burial. And when my father was nifta 11 and a half years ago, I really studied the halachos of Avelis, and the onen stayed with me. And all I was from the time of death, I was absolutely determined to give my mother the fastest, quickest, most dignified funeral that she deserved. And I think, you know, we did that. But you have to have a team. I must say that when I was driving back from the hospital to Sanlam Gardens, I kept saying, I'm an orphan now.
Yeah.
I'm an orphan now.
Awesome. You're correct.
There's no mother and father.
No mother and father.
And that's the cycle of life. And that's, that is what it is.
Yeah.
And just maybe a slightly lighter side is my mother, whenever she phoned, we spoke, she always used to say, are you busy? Are you busy?
Right.
And even after like 35 years in private practice, phone. But I think that, you know, that was the generation that came, you know, from her generation came from very poor. And we built up this massive professional class. And to be busy meant there was revenue.
Right.
And that meant there was money in the house.
Are you earning a living?
Are you earning it? But she said, are you busy? And even to my wife, Shira, she used to say, how's Jonathan? Is he busy? So now that call's over now. No one's going to phone me and say, are you busy?
Yeah.
Well, at least my mother won't. Yeah.
Right. We're going to take a break. We'll be back in a few moments.
Reflections of the Past with Isaac Resnick, exclusively on 101.9 High FM.
Right. Now, we're talking to Dr. Jonathan Markham. We mentioned the passing of his late mother. I also want to mention that of another gentleman who passed away last week. I did speak to him about him a few months ago. I even wrote an article about him in the Jewish Report, and that was Denzel Levy, who passed away in his 100th year in Port Elizabeth.
100th year.
And of course, Denzel was the doyen of the Jewish community in Port Elizabeth. You know, his late father was Reverend Abraham Levy, very well known for that infamous grey shirt trial with the black shirts and the grey shirts, with Roby Leibrandt and von Moltke. So I'm going to speak about Denzel on my program on Tuesday, Talk of the Town, to give a background how he was involved with the Port Elizabeth community.
Can I just mention this, because it goes with that, is that I'm also involved in a little bit of TV for Derech Eretz,
yes,
which is at 8:30 on a Sunday. Heather Blumenthal comes up from Cape Town, and every few months they put in a kind of open up the discussion.
Yes.
And I think it was about 6 weeks ago. It was on finding meaning. So I had about 3-4 minutes, and then that followed with a feature on Denzel Levy at 100. And they filmed him in Port Elizabeth. And I watched that, of course. It was about 10-15 minutes about him.
Yes.
So if anybody wants to find out more about him. But he looked an incredible man. He walked, he talked, he made sense. He stood up at, it was wonderful, wonderful.
And you know that a few months ago there was a funeral in Port Elizabeth. He conducted the funeral.
At 100.
At 100, he conducted. Mm. You know, he was so involved in the Port Elizabeth community, right from the early days. You know, he was an architect by profession.
Mm.
And he got involved with the orchestra there and all sorts of charitable organizations. And he was an institution, Port Elizabeth.
Mm.
And of course, as I said, his late father was very well known because of that trial.
Right.
And then he had a brother called Lucian, and the other brother, Gus Levy, Augustus was his real name, was a very famous conductor, musician.
Oh, yes,
he played second violin for the SABC, for the Philharmonic Orchestra, and the sister, latest Elise, as well, which the Women's Zionist Organization named their gift shop, Elise Gift Shop.
Wow.
And there was another brother, Ronnie, as well. And
Did he just pass away suddenly? Did he?
No, he was ill for
a while,
he was in his 100th year. Now, also, now on a very happy note, we've got a wonderful SMS here. It says, excellent and moving program. My parents' memory be a blessing. Shabbat shalom from Sue Jackson. Sue, thank you very much, Sue.
Yes.
So as I mentioned to you, you can have parents anywhere in the world, but they're still your parents, your mother and your father.
And I need to remember, part of sitting shiva is, your routine is broken up. You know, when we have prayers, for the traditional one night, two night. We had full. We had 13. Shachris, Mincha, Maariv. But you know what happens in between is the most interesting. Who comes and visits? So a person came to me and he was asking the question, why does a spouse only have one month of Shiva and children a year?
No.
Avelis. A husband and wife have 1 month, correct? And children have 1 month of Avelis, of mourning. One year of mourning.
And then if you lose a child, it's only 3 months of mourning.
3 months. So if we take, let's say, the spouse and the child, he said, interestingly, and he got this response, children quickly forget. Why? I mean, at least relatively. Because they're busy. They've got a spouse, they've got children, they have grandchildren, they've got friends. But for when a spouse dies away, you always remember. And he said it's even like the toothpaste, how she or who he used to use the toothpaste. So you go there, now you in your own room, you go into the bathroom, just the toothpaste reminds you. So you don't need that. Whereas Chazal said for children, we have to be very careful because after a month or two, okay, there are some people that really, really struggle. But most of us, especially if our parents are elderly, we soon forget. We soon forget. And we need to be reminded what the our relationship and actually what they did. My mother carried me for 9 months. She slept me, she fed me, she made me 100 jerseys. I used to go there once a month and stand up, I want to measure,
yes.
I mean, all those, but when you become a parent yourself, you tend to forget that. And we tend to go in the more recent times, which she did struggle. But in those first, let's say, 15, 20 years, boy, she was my support. She helped me through a lot.
Right.
Yeah. So I just want to say it's quite interesting how Chazal have made it, that for a spouse, let me get it right, it's a month. For a parent, it's a year.
It's a year. Right. You know, also, we're the only religion in the world, or the only nation, when even if it's 10 years later, you remember who has passed away. You light a yahrzeit candle.
Right.
No other ones, no other religion does that. And I, as I mentioned a few weeks ago, I had yahrzeit for my late father, and he passed away 60 years ago. And since I've written a candle and said Kaddish for the past 60 years.
Yes.
Which I remember the late Rabbi Lloyd Zatzal. He said to me, well, he was a youngster when his mother died, and he was saying Kaddish for 80 years. You see, you never forget.
Don't forget.
You don't forget. You see,
yeah, we have it, yeah.
And it's a phenomenon. You know, when it comes to saying Yizkor, which we say on Yom Kippur, we say it on the Shalosh Regalim, you know, you say it in, during Sukkot before the last day, Shemini Atzeret, the other three festivals as well. It's amazing, those Jews who are not frum, but they are traditional, they will all come to shul to say Yizkor. I don't know how they get to shul. That's their business. They stay in for Yizkor, and then straight after Yizkor, they leave and they go. They still remember their parents. And you go to their homes, you'll see they're lighting yahrzeit candles. And then, you know, the other thing you'll find, which is most amazing, just before Yom Tov, or Rosh Hashanah, particularly in Yom Kippur, everybody comes to the cemetery who's lost parents or children or whatever it is, and they visit the graves of their parents. This is also a very unique thing amongst the Jewish people.
Yeah, and you know, the candle, you're talking about the candle, it, what a role it plays. You know, we candle light, you know, for that Shabbos project, still remember they had it in the New York Times.
Yes.
That in 2100 or 2200, the United States might be a civilization, but there'll still be
the
Jewish woman lighting candles Erev Shabbos.
Yeah.
Now, what actually happened with my mom, and I don't want to go into too much, but it was, I think that this is an important point, is that she struggled. But in her last week, when they moved to frail care at Sarah McGardens, and the nursing was excellent, she became much happier. And you could visit her, and she was speaking about this and speaking about that, and smiling, very little moans. And then she passed away. And really the surprise was. But one of the visitors that came to see me said the following: if you look at a flame, just before it goes out, there's like a rim, it goes a bit bigger.
It gets bigger.
Bigger. And this is very common, I found, in the elderly, is the family or myself, the doctors, oh, they're getting better, and then that's the last. It's almost like the neshama and the guf have come to an agreement. The guf says, okay, I've had enough. The neshama says, I want to go back, okay. And the person becomes happy. Interesting, that morning, her last meal, the breakfast, the nurse told us, the family, that she didn't want breakfast because she wants to go back to her mother. She's going back to her mother. Now, I can't explain this, but this was all, there's something at a much higher level here that we probably could never really understand, but it's almost like she was ready now. She had lived her life, she had a week of, like, quote-unquote simcha, and she wanted to go back to her mother. Yeah.
Right, now I just want to mention before we take a break in a moment, you know, when you light a flame.
Yes.
And now to light another flame, with one little flame, you can light 1,000 flames,
yes,
and that flame doesn't go out.
Yes, yes.
Right. And it's quite right. When you see you and you light it, it gets brighter. But you light another candle, and then that same flame, you can go on and on and on, ad infinitum.
Yes.
And it doesn't go dimmer, it doesn't burn out. That is the neshoma.
Yes.
That's how you explain it. That's neshoma. We're taking a break. We'll be back in a few moments. Yes.
Reflections of the Past with Isaac Resnick, exclusively on 101.9 High FM.
Now, I just want to remind the listeners that Shabbat comes in at 6:15, but that's standard Johannesburg time. But the latest time for lighting candles is 6:23. The Parsha is Vayetze. Shabbat comes out tomorrow evening at 7:16. And just to mention also that I was going to talk about Minnie Gesalter, who celebrated her 97th birthday last Shabbat.
Mazel tov.
And I unfortunately wasn't in the studio on Tuesday, but I will speak about her this coming Tuesday as well. And also, I want to take this opportunity to wish two wonderful people a hearty mazel tov on their 80th birthday. That is Sylvia Coleman and Lorraine Resnick, Nee Druckmann. They are my Lorraine is my sister-in-law, and they'll be celebrating their 80th birthday tomorrow, Shabbat Vayetze. So I want to wish them lots of luck, mazel, glick, and may they have much nachas from their children and grandchildren. So over to you now, Jonathan. You've got something interesting to ask
me. Okay, so let's move on. So Arnold Orkin, is it Arnold Orkin?
Yes, I know him very well.
Yeah, he came up to me. He comes to Mahasha for Shirim in the afternoon. And he brought me a photostat copy of 22 men who, their photographs, who make up the Gemilut Chesed. Of the Fordsburg Mayfair. It's called Moshe
Sadovsky,
Hebrew Benevolent.
Yeah.
And it's 1958, which is the year I was born. And it was established in 1980, the Magen David here. And there's 22 photographs. So I thought for the listeners, and I haven't shown Isaac, because I want to test Isaac. I don't know what the prize is going to be, Isaac, but maybe another pirogan tonight. But maybe the listeners, as we go through each one, maybe they would like to add. Just remember we did the doctors, how much comment we got. But should I start? I'll start with the honorary life president. And by the way, these are all probably men in their 40s, in their 50s, all with suits and ties and just head. And what struck me, that in almost one generation, from one or two generations of South African Jewry, we actually had this very significant welfare society. There must have been very, very few, many, many poor people, but these are the people that had made it. They had made it, and they were giving back. I get goose pimples when I think of this. So the honorary chairman, honorary life president was H.J. Sadovsky.
Right.
Would you like to...
Well, you know, let me tell you about the...
You've got 1 minute per... No, I'm only joking. Okay. Yeah. No, I'm not going to show you the picture.
Okay.
H.J. Sadovsky.
Right. Now, you see, he founded the Gemilas Chesed, which is the Moshe Sadovsky Forsberg Mayfair thing, which was taken over later, years later, by the Witwatersrand Hebrew Benevolent. They took over that.
Yes.
Now, he lived in Mayfair. And they used, when all the landslide used to come, they came penniless to South Africa.
Yes.
So they formed an organization called this Gemilas Chesed in Mayfair, because it's one of the oldest communities in Johannesburg, because when Johannesburg was founded in 1886, it was founded on the, what they call Ferreresdorp.
Mm.
And right next to Ferreresdorp was Fordsburg, right there. So they started this. They started living there. And he organized a committee so they could all start collecting funds for helping. But I must just go back as well. The Chevre Kadisha, as we spoke to earlier, also started a Gemilas Chesed of their own as well in 1886 to assist people. That's why it's called the Johannesburg Jewish Helping Hand and Burial Society.
Okay, yes.
The Helping Hand was the giving of funds to people who didn't have it.
And it would seem now that the burial is a well-polished system.
Yes, yes.
But the Helping Hand is just exploding now.
It's exploding. It's the most... It's the most unbelievable organization in the world, because it's not only for the Sandringham Gardens, it's the Selwyn Siegel, it's the Arcadia,
it's the Hammer,
everything, everything is there, all included. Now, then in Bayfair you had him, and then there were the Sadovskys. By the way, I hope Russell Sadovsky is listening to him, because I haven't heard from Russell for quite a few weeks, and I was actually going to phone him this weekend to find out how he is. So I hope, Russell, you're well, and if you've got any comments, you can please call us. You know the number.
What do you know about the Sadovsky family?
The Sadovsky. Now, let me tell you. So there was a Dr. Sadovsky as well, very well known.
Who was with someone called the Loafer?
Now, that I'm going to tell you about him.
Okay.
Loafer was...
Where did you get the name of Loafer?
I'll tell you what. His name was Chaim Sadovsky.
Right, Chaim.
Chaim. And he used to walk all the way from Mayfair...
Mm.
To the Johannesburg General Hospital.
Mm.
And he used to visit every ward to look where there were Jewish people there, and some, even if sometimes there were non-Jewish people. He became very well known, and the black staff gave him the nickname Loafer because he used to loaf around or hospital. But he did unbelievable chesed.
Yes.
He visited every patient. He would walk on a yontif. He would walk on a Shabbos and everything. And when someone couldn't afford to go into a private nursing home, he would go to the matron or this, the supervisor of Joburg Gen, and said, I want this person admitted. And they would never refuse him. And a Jew would be admitted immediately, straight away. And all the nurses had the highest respect for him. So let me just tell you, when he took ill and he passed away at the West Park Cemetery, they flew the flag at the Joburg Gen half mast. Most of the black nurses came to his funeral.
Oh my goodness, yeah.
And they sang at his funeral.
Mm.
This is the respect they gave to him for the loafer.
Just a couple. So there was Moshe Sadovsky.
Right.
Okay. Was loafer or Chaim, you say?
Chaim.
Was he the son?
He was the son.
And okay. So. And he just took it on.
He just took it on.
He wasn't a trained doctor he just took it on.
He battled to make a living as well himself. But he just took it on himself. And I can tell you now this, when my late father passed away, he got a message to us. My father was in the Joburg Gen, and he got a message to us to say that my father had just before he passed, had an operation, and we must come. And this was a Shabbos afternoon. And they walked all the way. We were living in Jeppe, and they walked all the way from the Joburg Gen to come and tell us. And that was Moshe Sadovsky.
Loafer. So he just took it on. He just did it as pure chesed.
Chesed.
And interesting, he didn't make a living, but at his levaya, he had thousands of people of all persuasions, just not...
The doctors had the highest respect for him.
Because of pure chesed.
Chesed. We're taking a break. We'll be back in a moment.
Reflections of the Past with Isaac Resnick, exclusively on 101.9 High FM.
Welcome back. So we're talking all about the Forsberg Mayfair Gemilas Chesed, and we're talking about this Chaim Sadovsky, who was an absolute tzaddik. Absolute tzaddik. Now, just before we continue, we do have a texture SMS that says, how long do you grieve for siblings? I mentioned it's 3 months.
Mm.
If you lose a child, you grieve for 3 months. Now,
A child is a month. What's a child?
No,
1 month. Let's get this right.
No,
For parents, it's 1 year.
Yes.
For a spouse,
it's a
husband,
month.
A month.
And
a sibling?
3 months.
And a child?
Child is 3 months.
Okay.
Months. Right, now, let's get back to Mayfair. So we're speaking about Chaim Sadovsky.
But I would like just to continue, because this man comes probably once in a lifetime.
Once in a lifetime.
Because I haven't seen... You know, you have people, they pop in. Yeah, they go to... But now we've got motor cars. But you're saying that on Shabbos, he would walk.
Walk all the way.
He had this incredible... Just walk and comfort the sick.
Sick. And arrange kosher meals for the people who weren't there. He would walk all the way from Mayfair.
Was he a married man?
No, he wasn't married. He was a bachelor.
So this became his whole meaning in life.
Yeah.
Wow. And he must have seen thousands of people.
Thousands.
Because as we were talking off air, Joburg Gen there, for most people don't know, was the hospital in the center of Hillbrow.
Right.
And there were thousands of Jews that lived in Joburg Park and Hillbrow. And probably part of the CBD.
Yes.
And then, of course, extended into Forsberg into Mayfair.
If you went west. And you went up from Dorfontein as well. But you know, also, you must take into consideration that I would say 80% of the doctors who were at the Joburg Gen were Jewish. All Jewish specialists. I mean, I can name you all of them if you want to know. Like Alec Orkin and you've got Mace David. I can go on.
The
superintendent of the Joburg Gen then, you know, was a Jewish lady, Dr. Mary Ann Gordon.
Yes, we mentioned her before,
Yes, and you know who she was.
Yeah.
She was the niece of the famous Eliezer Gordon of the Tells Yeshiva. But there are other gentlemen there. We had the two fine brothers. I don't know if remember, they were murdered, unfortunately. They were bachelors. They looked after the shul in Mayfair there. There was the Garbs, the late Mr. Garb. He had the most marvelous chazonist voice, and he would dove into the Mayfair shul. You had... as I said, you got Russell Todowski, you had the Aarons, you know, very famous for their Aarons, Pletzlach and Teiglach. I'm sure there was Mrs. Bregman living there. Remember, she came up with that famous Deborah Schmaltz, where the chicken couldn't tell the difference. and you know, all them, and the Cohens, there was Max Cohen, and Ivan Cohen, and the Reverend Perloff. And, you know, all of them then moved. They just all went to... Emerentia, started there, and you're Letty Sharp, and you know, I could go on with all the others.
It's very interesting,
and your late grandfather as well, Moch.
He's an honorary trustee, Moch, very young man here. But you know, it's just to comment that a lot of the Jewish organizations I speak to, they say that very few young people are interested in joining. They say there's a dearth of. Leadership, and but here was people that I think just by being together, you form connections and you get leads, and it can help you in many, many ways. So if you just hold on to the Sadowski, did you know H.J. Sadowski?
Yes.
Was he a brother or the father of Chaim?
No, he was a brother.
A brother.
And then you had this.
Which other Sadowskis besides Russell?
There was a Dr. Sadowski.
Yes.
He was for many years at the Great Park Synagogue. His name will come to me in a few moments.
Yeah.
But there are other people we could mention there.
I'm coming. Okay. So we honorary life president. What about the honorary chairman, R. Aarons?
Yes, Aaron. That's what I've just told
you. Yeah, okay.
That was the Aarons Plitzach. And Mr. Aarons, by the way, he was chairman of the Talmud Torah. They used to have, when we went to school, we didn't have King David's or the Yeshiva colleges. Yeah. We had Cheder early in the morning.
Right.
So there was a South African Jewish Board of Deputies. Under them was the Chadorim, and which Mr. Aarons was the chairman as well. And then the director there was a chap called Mr. Roy Katz. And late Roy Katz, his late brother, is Rabbi, was Rabbi Sidney Katz of Pretoria, whose son today is Rabbi Michael Katz of the Chabad in Ilova.
Yes.
So
if they had to come alive today, let's say these people who started the Talmud Torah, and they had to say, I mean, even this little Greater Glen Hazel, we have what they call the Cheder, which is does the minimum of secular, and most of these kids they know the Torah off by heart now. So in 60 years, we moved from a Cheder where you prepare for your bar mitzvah and that's it, to now where it's, you know, it's full time. It's full time in the family. I think there will be. If they see what's happening in terms of our organization, welfare organizations, I think they would be proud of what they see now.
Yeah, and of course in Mayfair, you had the Forsberg Shul, and later on the Mayfair Shul, where your father was, grandfather was involved.
Yeah.
You had three gentlemen. There was a Reverend Zeidel, Rabbi Zeidel. He was there for over 50 years. And if you go to Sandringham Gardens, you'll see one of the wings is called from the Mayfair Rabbi Zeidel there. There was also a Rabbi Zaganoff. I'm sure many people remember.
Yeah.
And also another one was a Reverend Shostakovich. Later on...
What a beautiful name, Shostakovich.
Shostakovich. But let me just tell you
about...
Now, he had a son...
A composer, Shostakovich.
That was another one. He had a son who changed his name, shortened it to Sasto. And he became a neurosurgeon. And he went to America. He died a few years ago. And they had a daughter called Blumi. And Blumi married a gentleman called Friedman. There's Merle Friedman, you know, that's Blumi's daughter. She's also, I think, a psychologist.
They had the son that was in coma
Son. Blumi had a son called Kenny. He was a brilliant attorney. And he was sitting at his desk one day in his offices, and he had brain, I think a clot on the brain. And they rushed him to hospital and one thing and another. And Blumi's brother, who was then the neurosurgeon, said, look, there's 50-50%. If we operate, there's a chance he may recover. If we don't operate, then you'll remain as is for the left, you know. So they decided not to operate. And Bloomy looked after Kenny for the last 20 or 30 years of his life. He lived so long. He's buried right next to his mother, because I did the funeral. And whenever, I want to mention this, the listeners know this, whenever a rabbi would come to South Africa, and it was a rabbi, all rabbonim got great standing, but if I brought a chief rabbi came, because I used to be involved in the union and organized the itineraries, Bloomy lived in Observatory.
Francis Street.
And the first, we from the Jan Smuts Airport, we would, the first place we would stop at would Bloomy Friedman's house. And why? We would ask the rabbi to give Kenny a blessing. And if I can name you the rabbonim who came, there was Rabbi Zolti, Rabbi Kollitz, all the great rabbonim would all stop at her house.
So today we just mentioned two, a tzaddik, the loafer, and Mrs. Friedman.
Mrs. Friedman.
Because someone came to my house, well, sitting shiver, and we were talking about it, and I think I mentioned 25, 28 years. He never developed one bed sore.
That's
how he was looked after.
He was so wonderful. And when we would bring her...
Can you imagine? 28 years.
She looked after him like a baby. And you know that whenever...
Where are those people today?
Whenever a rabbi would come and give him a brocha, he would have a smile on his face.
Yes.
It was something to see. You couldn't believe it. And so, as you said...
So from a psychiatric point of view, some people who have, let's say, extensive brain damage, even various forms of Alzheimer's or whatever, or brain damage from birth, they still have emotions.
Yeah, right.
And let's say they can't talk or whatever, but they can smile. So you have to be very careful what you say.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. We're taking a break. We're back in a few minutes.
Reflections of the Past with Isaac Resnick, exclusively on 101.9 High FM.
Welcome back, 8 minutes to nine. I believe there was a call that mentioned Reverend Klavansky, but Reverend Klavansky was involved with the Jermiston Hebrew community and not with the Mayfair, and he was a cheder inspector
for those days.
And then later on, he went to Yovel Shul.
There was a Klavansky, Mr. Klavansky, we called him Clever, he was at Parktown Boys. Was he a relative to this, a brother? You don't know?
He was at
Parktown also for 45
And then
years.
Also, he was very involved with the Arcadia as well.
Yes, he Klavansky. Lived there.
He lived there.
He
for
taught
years.
Me Latin. And for about a month.
Right.
So I gave up on Latin.
You mentioned
Isaac, what about Mr. I. Noodleman?
Isaac Noodleman, right. Yeah. His late father, well, his wife is Blima.
Yes,
she's
came
still
to
alive.
Yep.
I think she's at Sam Gordon.
Lovely woman.
Now,
Beautiful memory.
Her maiden name was Rubenstein.
Right.
And she lived right next door to us. We were 368 and they were 370 Fox Street.
Yeah.
And her late father, Mordechai Rubenstein, the mother, Pika, they had a little grocery shop.
Yeah.
And Blima married Isaac Noodleman, whose parents owned S.M. Noodleman and Company. They were clothing manufacturers. They manufactured women's costumes. Mm. And your late grandfather was a very close friend of the Noodlemans.
Yes. And long-time patients of my father.
And Isaac had a brother called Monty and a sister called Becky. Mm. I think she's still alive. She married a Herbert. In Israel, and they were very, very close. And Isaac was very involved also with the Sandringham Gardens for many, many years as well.
Yes.
So as I said, I knew them very well. Is there anybody else you want to know about?
But nothing more about the Noodlemans.
What else do you want?
Well, I'll tell you something. This is that where they used to live.
They lived in Dorfontein. Wait. Yeah. They first lived in corner Bates Street, and the street was called... Let's see if anybody... you remember? Okay.
No.
Right?
No.
Okay.
I didn't know Dorfontein.
It was the same street where you had the Beth HaMedrash HaGodol Shul. You just walked up the road, and that's where it was, that street there. And also, then they moved to Saxon World.
Yes.
When they moved to Yeovil, to Hendon Street, and then they moved to Saxonwold.
Wow, and they were neighbors
right next door to the
Rabbi Joan. And so if you actually, the old house now is on Saxonwold Drive, which is by the War Museum there.
War Museum.
If you cross over the road, I don't know if you know, but the Guptas are directly opposite.
Opposite there,
10 meters, just cross the road, the Guptas.
Right.
So Saxonwold has become a well-known thing there. But in my days, where I grew up, there were no shebeens.
Yeah, and Isaac was an accountant, and I said they had a brother, Monty, who married a lady called Lorna. Ryan was her surname, and she came from Uitenhage in the Eastern Cape, you know. And look, I can give you the whole family. They've got a son who's living in Chicago, and a daughter, and another daughter living in Shulamit, living in Israel, married to Barry Schwartz. So look.
So I just wanted to tell the listeners here. I wanted to say that. Isaac is looking at me straight in the eye. He's not looking at an encyclopedia. He's telling me, what about one more? S. Wunsch.
Yes, S. Wunsch.
Because I know that the probably a son who was his famous
the
lawyer.
The famous Basil Wunsch.
Yeah, his son-in-law is Lawrence Rapp.
Lawrence Rapp. The daughter's name is Emma.
Now,
Basil Wunsch was a senior partner of Edward Nathan and...
Sonnenberg's.
Well, today it's Sonnenberg's, but it was called Friedland. Edward Nathan Friedland.
Mm.
And he was the first attorney ever to be appointed to be a judge.
Mm.
He wasn't an advocate. They just, from attorney, he went straight to a judge.
Yeah.
And he was also a member of the World Zionist Organization on the Court of Honor with another very famous judge by the name of Cecil Margo.
What home did Basil Wunsch live in? And
we lived in West Street, which became the shul.
The West Street shul in Houghton.
In Houghton
was the Wunsch's home.
That was their house, and they donated that property to the West Street shul.
Yes.
When they broke away from Oxford shul, that was with Ronnie Kaplan and Feigenbaum and... about Mendel Kaplan and a couple, because, well, I won't go into those details.
Yes.
So that was Basil Wunsch. I just want to mention one thing that...
Well, we'll continue next week, because I think each person has a history in a family.
Right. Now, just to remind you again, Shabbat 6:15, the latest time for candle 6:23. Shabbat ends at 7:16. And please, Sunday afternoon between 4 and 5, Art of the Cantor is a very, very special program. And I'm going to play Chazonim, who sing, not only sing Chazonis, but opera. This is very unique. But amongst it is one young gentleman singing Osolomia to the tune of Boy by Shalom, but with a little Italian boy of 11 years old singing in Italian, Osolomia. It's in Venice. It's a video. Now, if any of our listeners want a copy of it, I am prepared to send it to them. Send me a email at isaac@chai.co.za, and I will email you this video. It is absolutely magnificent. And
can I be your first customer?
I'll send it to you by apps. And I tell you, it is absolutely superb. So thank you, Craig, for controlling. Have a wonderful, wonderful Shabbat, a wonderful weekend. And don't forget, there's a slight chance of heavy downshot.
I think it's forecast that tomorrow is going to be a wet Shabbos in Johannesburg.
Thank you. Go well. Enjoy
Shabbat
the rest of the week.
Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.